Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everybody.
Hey.
You got it. You know how the intro goes? Do you know how we intro?
I guess what we just did.
Yeah, that, and I say, my name is David Bell.
And I'm Tom Ryman.
Yep. And we just watched Bloodshot.
We did. But wait a second, I'm not Tom Ryman.
What is this place?
I'm sorry to be the one to tell you this, but you got yourself killed.
At RST, we rebuild the most important assets in the U.S. military.
Soldiers like yourself. You're the first who we've successfully managed to bring back.
Improved, enhanced. With the technology in your veins, you have an army inside you that will not only make you stronger, it will heal you instantly.
Holy shit.
Now tell me, do you remember anything?
Yes, you are.
I mean, I'm close. I would say I'm the closest thing you can get to a replacement for Tom Ryman.
Yeah. You could probably do his voice. Yeah, that's...
Is that his?
It's a perfect Tom.
I've never thought to do a Tom Ryman impression.
Right.
But I think I've heard him probably third most, maybe fourth most, behind John Ryman, you, and Marina, because I have to hear him all the time.
Yeah, you do. So do I.
Because I have to interact with him a lot because we do Tom and Jeff Watch Batman.
So do our listeners. You know, they must be so sick of hearing our fucking voices.
This is we've had a thick amount of Jeff and Dave material lately.
Yeah, it's been pretty thick.
Which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah, Tom's not here, if people haven't figured that out.
And Pinch Hinton.
Yeah, Jeff was very, very kind enough to go see Bloodshot with me
today.
In a mall.
In a packed mall.
Yeah, in a not packed theater, but a packed mall.
The mall was insanely packed. And for those of you, depending on what time you're listening to this... We are like in the thick of coronavirus pandemonium.
Yeah, by the time they hear this, we have already died.
And yet the number of families leaving the Dave and Buster's across from the movie theater is alarming.
Yes.
Alarming at best.
Yes. It's, I mean, again, you cancel all the sports. You tell people not to go to the movies. They're like, all right, I guess Dave and Buster's it is.
You're like, no. That's like worse than the movies.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing where I'm like, how fucking dumb are you?
The bowling alley. Thinking about the bowling alley and the fact that everybody's just... This is a game where everybody communally touches things. The same, like, greasy ball. Like,
I'd be like, you better... They better have that bowling shoe spray on everything.
Yeah. Everything.
Just spraying every ball as it comes back.
How did you like Bloodshot, Jeff?
I didn't hate it.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to get much pushback from me. This has like a 9% on Rotten Tomatoes.
This is like a good DC movie.
Yes.
Like that's the best way to describe it. It's one of the better DC movies and it's not a DC property.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it anywhere in the realm of a Marvel film as far as the formula and the color.
Yeah.
But and there are parts, the reason I call it a DC film is because there are parts where you're like, that was a weird choice that didn't need to make it into this film.
It wasn't perfect.
No.
Yeah.
No. But like surprisingly better than I thought it was going to be.
I think, here's the thing. I think most Vin Diesel films are surprisingly better than everybody thinks they're going to be.
He's not bad on quality control for his shit.
Yeah. He has good taste. I think The Last Witch Hunter was really fun. I had the pleasure of, you weren't there, watching Tom watch both XXX and the XXX3, having not seen it before. I actually watched it with a bunch of people who had never seen it and just written it off. And they were like, these movies are awesome. Yeah. Where did these come from? I'm like, they've been here the whole time.
They've been here. I want to talk about how the Riddick trilogy is a fantastic 50s B movie sci-fi franchise.
100%.
Like, it is phenomenal. That second, the Chronicles of Riddick, the second one, is
So good. The video game is really good.
Well, that's because he had like a whole hand in it. Like, he's
Vin Diesel has good taste.
He has decent taste. Yeah, he's not making terrible movies.
Yeah,
they're not always gonna hit.
He's making like Schwarzenegger movies of the 90s. He's making the movies that we don't see as much.
No.
That have to be part of, or that don't have to be part of some big fucking franchise, some cinematic universe, and there's nothing wrong with
those. I'll make my own universe.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm going to make some action films, and they're going to be fun. And yeah, I'm going to fucking kill Toby Kebbell, and everybody's going to love it.
I did not hate this at all.
No, and neither did I.
I expected to not particularly, to like kind of roll my eyes a bit.
Yeah.
And the stuff that I didn't like is not the Bloodshot stuff.
No, I get why, I don't fully get why it has such bad reviews, but I get why movies like this tend to have bad reviews. The Grudge was the last one that had like a really low one, and I watched it and I was like, I didn't hate this. This actually had some good ideas, but I think ultimately, maybe audiences are conditioned a certain way, where this movie is, I want to say, a little slower than what people are
used
to.
It's a little more cerebral than you're
going
to.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, too, is like, it's smarter than every DC movie that we've seen up to this point. Like, maybe Shazam was a little smarter, but Shazam was a Marvel movie under the DC franchise, basically. Yeah.
I think their attempts at humor were a bit of a miss.
Yep. I would say the Wiggins character.
He had a couple lines. I was like, yeah, that's kind of funny.
But, like, they were really kind of polishing the turd as far as the jokes were concerned.
I got the impression that this was a script that the Wiggins actor was given, and they were like, and like, make it funny. And he was like, I'm not a comedian. Okay, shit. Yeah. Like, it, well, there felt like
to improv 101 though.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah, it felt like
probably
this.
Make it work.
It's a perfect Wiggins impression.
It's Bonnie, isn't it?
Yeah. There was a couple parts, like a bit of a fat that could be trimmed. I thought they didn't need the... This movie starts with him... Most people listening to this have not seen Bloodshot. I guarantee that. And they have no interest in it.
But they already told you everything that happens in the trailer.
Yes. And that's kind of a shame, because the movie clearly didn't think the trailer would reveal that.
Whoever made this trailer and asked for it is a piece of shit.
Yeah. It's like a halfway through they reveal that he's
it's about a third of the way through that they do the reveal to us, and then halfway through is when he starts to get it.
Right, and it's kind of a shame, because the first part you're watching and you're like, I know what this is.
Yeah.
And that's why I was saying that I think they spent a little too long there.
It's not their fault. The trailer
fucked it up. And because of that, again, another reason why I could see people not liking this as much is because half the movie is spent waiting to reveal something we already know.
What
about
a twist.
Yeah. And it's not a bad twist.
No, it's actually quite good to have the good guy actually be the bad guy. He's basically like a super punisher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that, because what I also liked about it, I'm a little sick of when movies comment on how dumb their own writing is. Yeah. They'll do that, but they at least had a logical excuse for it, because the beginning is basically they nuke the fridge? No, it's the term of killing a woman.
Oh, the woman in fridges. Yeah,
yeah,
they whiffed her. Yeah.
Yeah, to give the hero motivation.
Created by Gail Simone. She's the one who, because they did that in the Green Lantern. In Green Lantern, when Kyle Rayner became the new Green Lantern, he had a girlfriend. She was like, by two issues, she was stuffed in a fridge.
Okay.
And it was used as an example of violence against women being used to further the narrative of the male protagonist.
And that's what the reveal is, that the villains are just fridging this woman. And they're
over
evil for
and
doing
over
and over.
Again, yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's what a good comment on superhero origins.
Yeah.
And like, and they even say later, he's just like, he comments on the memory they give him, and he's just like, we've used every Hollywood cliche that's out there now.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I think, he says, what's the cliche officially that he says? Oh, he's like a psycho killer, you know, the terrorist. It is fascinating that they got the rights to a Talking Heads song
I'm wondering if something happened recently with Talking Heads. Did anybody die?
David Byrne was just, he's been having a resurgence, and he did a song on John Mulaney's kids special.
Oh, he does a song with a kid.
You haven't seen it yet?
No.
Oh, it's so good. It's brilliant.
Because I've been hearing Psycho Killer more recently, and it's like everybody just rediscovered the song, and it's like, yeah it's a fucking great song. Yeah, I mean, Toby Kebbell dances to Psycho Killer, which is something everybody needs to see.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty cool... And they do it, and it's very funny, and then they circle back to them being like, yeah, you're pretty cliched doing that.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Right, and it works, because it's supposed to, like, the beginning is, they do a good job at you're watching, and you're like, you're not sure if this is a cliche just because it's in a movie you're watching.
Yeah.
And then it's like, no, it's a cliche because it's supposed to be a cliche.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I was thinking of that they could have cut is all the stuff up when he kills the terrorist at the beginning. That war scene.
You think they should have cut that?
I think they should have started it right at the torture. At him tied up and Toby Kebbell dancing up. Because he says everything we need to know. He says, like, how did your men find us that are ruin our attempt and stuff? We didn't really need to see that.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. Here's where I'm going to disagree with you on this one.
Okay.
Because what you need to establish is that this dude is like an American soldier, like a special ops guy. He's a military man. And you need to see to show, because there's a whole point where they show about how they're recreating the scene over and over again, but with slight variations. And you need to have that scene in order to show the quick recreations. Like, you can't ignore the sim if the whole movie is about creating the sim.
I guess I know what you're saying. Maybe they should have just made it quicker. It just felt like the movie started a little slow.
Cool. Well, I thought it was really cool.
It wasn't a bad scene where he's like, oh, where's the phone? And he shoots the motherfucker.
The part that was a little too slow was the cliched stuff with his girlfriend or his wife.
Oh, yeah, where they're like they're really fucking.
Yeah.
What does she say? She says it's something I exchange about his body and what his body can do.
And she was like, well, maybe you're going to have to give me a refresher on what it can do.
That was it.
Something like that. And he's just like.
Which, again, I got to give the film respect, because at that point I was like, what a terrible line. And then, of course, the reveal is it's written by
a fucking programmer that wrote it, and who's probably never been laid.
Yeah.
So, of course, that's what he would think of.
Yeah.
It would be like if he was trying to get him to get her back, he would be holding up a boombox playing Peter Gabriel. Like, that's the only what kind of romance he knows is shit that he's seen in movies.
It would have been amazing if they just kept including more and more, like, recognizable cliches just for the fuck of it.
Just Vin Diesel holding a fucking boombox. Can we also talk about, there's a great scene when all the military guys get back from their mission, and they did a wide shot of the crew, so you could see that Vin Diesel was, like, not tall. And I was, like, really excited that they didn't pretend that he's 6'2". Yeah.
Well, he doesn't need to be. He doesn't need to be.
Well, he does in other movies.
I know. I'm saying is he has my respect.
Yes, but he's not going toe-to-toe with The Rock.
Yeah.
Unless you're having some apple crates.
I was going to say, I feel like with The Rock, it's like you have to put everybody on apple boxes a little bit, because it's like, look, this is too much.
Yeah, like they say Vin Diesel is 6 feet tall, but he's not.
Yeah.
At best, 5'10".
This isn't knocking him either.
No.
But there was something in this movie that I noticed more about him. And it's very weird. I don't know if you noticed this. Is the older he's getting, the more he's slowly looking like Adam Sandler, or the more Adam Sandler's looking like Vin Diesel. I don't know which. It's in the eyes and, like, some of the expressions. Is this just me? Is this just a Dave thing?
I think Vin Diesel Jewish? I think he might be. So I think he might just be being vaguely anti-Semitic.
Just horribly anti-Semitic. No, it's in... No, I swear.
Like, their nose is, like, hooking a little bit. It's like, Jesus.
They're always hoarding stuff. You notice that? No, it's...
He's trying to get back his treasure.
This is me revealing I'm horribly anti-Semitic. No, I swear to Christ, it's in the eyes. There's, and it's like soulful eyes. They have like these, the similar expressions in the eyes, mm-hmm. especially.
Yeah, I could say that.
I don't know. He looks like he could be Adam Sandler's little brother.
Oh, he's not Jewish, by the way.
Okay.
I went on to JewOrNotJew.com.
Oh, God.
I mean, I think it's a...
Why would you go on that website?
I think it's a good people website.
Okay.
I think it's a...
it's not Nazis? You're not going to be on a list now?
I don't know. It could be. Maybe I shouldn't have Googled Vin Diesel Jewish? Question mark.
This is a weird...
How else will I know if I liked the movie?
this is a weird path.
Well, anyway, his wife is Tallulah. God, what's her last name? I know of her as Elon Musk's twice divorced.
I'd never seen her
Tallulah Riley
until now. Everybody looked vaguely familiar. The other woman with the breathing apparatus.
Man,
for a second I thought she was the. A couple angles, she looked like the. The lady, the main character in Knives Out,
yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, good for her. That's great. What range in, like, weird movies you pick? But no, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, she's... She was in Inception. She was in The Summer House. She was in Pride and Prejudice in 2005. Like, she's been in stuff. And
yeah.
And then, the KT character who...
Why is her name KT?
I don't know, man. And
I thought she was going to be a robot of some sort.
There is this potential love interest aspect to her where they kind of teeter it at you. They don't. They dangle it at you.
They don't blast you in the face with.
No, and like, Vin Diesel's 52.
Yeah,
and this woman is impossibly hot and 30.
Yeah.
Like, this woman's impossibly hot.
It's a relationship that's absolutely not going to work out.
Unless it's a partnership only, not a
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, if it's a romantic relationship. Because she, like, feels bad for him.
Yeah.
And then...
Who among us?
Yeah. This is... We did Drive Angry recently.
Oh.
And there's one thing I really appreciated about that film, because they matched Nicolas Cage up with like a 25-year-old and they go on a road trip together, and I was watching the movie like, oh, don't you fucking do it movie, and they don't. She goes off and fucks some other guy and he goes off and fucks some other lady, and they both just have this mutual, like, they never, it doesn't even get brought up, and it was like, good for you,
yeah.
Nicolas Cage, you probably could have changed things if you wanted to.
I need to fuck this girl.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, this is what this movie was too, where they're just like, we can't do this, right?
And then he falls in love with KT, and Vin Diesel's like, well, it's not happening.
No, I'm not doing.
I mean, let me jump punch someone though. Quality amount of jump punching.
There's so much jump punching.
Oh man, there is some good. There's an entire scene that is a jump punch free fall.
Yeah, it's just in an elevator shaft.
He meets up with his like his new buddies. His new, like, teammates kind of thing. And one of them is, like, the clear, obvious antagonist.
Yeah.
He's, like, the guy with no legs, who is the main character in Outlander, which is a series that I've been forced to watch lately, consistently.
I didn't know that.
Not stoked about that. He's, like, the main...
It didn't help the trailer shows him, like, fighting those guys.
Right. The blind guy is a fascinating study in... Why did you put him in this movie?
The blind guy's power is he can see.
He can see everything because he's, like, covered in these, like, neural net optics. So, like, now he can see everything around him.
But that's pretty much it. I guess he has super strength of some sort.
I would think he has to, because there's a lot of falling 40 to 50 feet or more.
It's not perfect.
No.
Okay, I should note that none of the logic of this movie holds up. The hacking, none of that. I had to go to the bathroom, and I have to ask you a question.
Yes.
Because what happens is the KT kidnaps the good hacker.
Yes.
And then I had to pee. And I came back, and she had clearly like infiltrated her own place, and the hacker wakes up in a van.
Yes.
How did he get to the van?
When she kidnapped him, she left him in the van, drove back into the building, went upstairs, and said, I couldn't get him.
It's his van.
It's her van. It's the van she took. She got him. She kidnapped
him. Why is it filled with hacking stuff and, like, his stuff?
Because it was probably like, I need to get my stuff.
Okay, so she, because the one thing I noticed is there was Chinese food, and like that was this guy's bit, is he was eating Chinese food at the beginning. He really wanted Chinese food, and then in the van he's got the thing of Chinese food, and I was like, did he order Chinese food while he was getting kidnapped? That's sure. What I, okay.
Yeah, that sounds like something eccentric.
It's not the biggest hole of now, the film. I'm just, I was,
I will
couldn't
say
figure that out.
Because we're kind of jumping around plot wise, but
yes.
Going back to the antagonists, the two guys, there is a chase scene that is very good.
When they enemy of the state him and he's
yes.
Yeah.
But it's enemy of the state if Will Smith was played by the Juggernaut.
Yes.
And it's so fucking good.
He does literally like bust through
yes,
walls.
Yes, no, he juggernauts his way through yeah. there. He's like kicking cop cars and stuff and like
it's pretty great.
It's great. The motorcycle stuff is really cool because the guy clearly has the eyes in the sky so he can see what's coming around there. So
yeah.
It's really cool. A blind guy that can see everything, driving a motorcycle, giving the play-by-play
yeah.
to another guy who's doing really cool like parkour running because
yeah.
he's got robot legs.
It's pretty great.
It's good. Like the
yeah.
chase is good.
You have to sort of forget, but this is no different than the Avengers because when that final elevator shaft fight happened, I was like, are they all bloodshot now? Like, do they all have nanobots? Because no one was getting hurt. And it's like, whatever. That's like the Avengers where people fall like 50 feet and they're fine. And it's like, all right.
I have a feeling that
except
these,
the time they don't fall and they
are
fine.
I have
fine.
A feeling that all of these characters are also enhanced.
Yeah, it seems like when they were like, this guy's got cool legs, this guy's got eyes, and it felt like and also superpowers.
And yeah, like some kind of steroid or something. And
yeah.
The main reason I think that way is because KT cleared out all those motherfuckers. And I was like, is robot breathing that
right.
much of a superpower that you are fucking up six guards?
Yeah, I think it's definitely the idea they established is that they were already really badass before they got augmented by this company run by what's his face, Memento.
Yeah,
we haven't even talked about him, Guy Pearce.
Man, he's just like, what if I did the Iron Man 3 guy again?
Yeah. He's like, I'm not gonna give this too much thought. I've been a bad guy a couple times.
And you know what, he fucking nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great. He didn't have too much to do, but he was great.
No, man, you don't have to be when you're that guy.
This would have, speaking of Iron Man 3, this would be a hit if it got a Shane Black rewrite. Like, it kind of needed that weirdness or, like, some sort of... It, like, that's the biggest fault of this movie is it's the dialogue. It's everybody's very serious.
Except for one guy, and he's overly the clown.
Yeah.
And that's the real kind of, like, unfortunate part of it, where it's like Vin Diesel's not one to really do comedy as a part of his,
he's never done it great, like in terms of movies with comic reliefs in it with him in
yeah
it.
Like The Rock knows how to be the butt of the joke.
Yes, Vin Diesel does not seem like
yeah
he wants to be the badass in every scene.
Isn't there like a weird weird contract clauses in Fast and the Furious films about how like the number of punches and kicking through walls and
oh yeah, especially in Hobbs and Shaw, because it's really evident where they're like at the end they learn that that teamwork is the way. They learn to work together and they like take turns punching Idris Elba, and it's like this was calculated.
Yeah,
this was in a contract and
there's
they were
numbers.
Like checking it off in the editing
yeah.
day.
But like The Rock and I think Statham even to a different point, but like they have kind of like a comedy element to them that you
yeah.
don't normally see with Vin Diesel.
It's hard because I think there's a lot of this. I think Tom Cruise kind of has that problem too in his action films.
Yeah.
Where he has funny guys on the side. He's better at it.
No, he's actually, but no, because think about Edge of Tomorrow.
I don't, it's not bad. It's not a bad movie. I just forgot that movie.
Edge of Tomorrow is.
Was there funny in that?
Yeah, his like because of all
he's
the deaths
a,
and stuff.
Yeah,
and
he, you're right.
And like she comes up, there's a lot of scenes where he's like, "I'm fine, I'm fine."
No,
and
yeah.
she like keeps coming up and shooting him.
And he's like, I consider him as much of a real like an actor as an
yeah.
action star.
He's in on the joke.
Yeah, and he's just had a lot more experience.
I don't think Vin Diesel's in on the joke. Is what I'm saying.
I'm struggling to figure that out, and I don't want him to change.
No, we don't need him to.
But like when I laugh in a Vin Diesel movie, it's laughing at him like jumping a barn with his bike and the barn exploding under him for some reason. And it's like, that's fucking amazing.
Yes, but you're not, you're laughing. This is going to sound weird because it's a thing that you're enjoying, but you're laughing at him, not with him.
Sort of.
In this stuff when you laugh in a Vin Diesel movie.
Sort of. Not him specifically. He's not a clown. It's more just like, conceptually, I'm laughing at the absurdity, which I will say I think this needed more of. It needed more over-the-top shit.
I mean, there's a scene where he's punching a dude as they're falling, and he turns white with red eyes, so he matches the comic book version of his character.
Yeah, that's true. And so, it's like, great. They do that a couple times. The flower truck, they were trying to do that too, weren't they?
Yeah, well, a little bit. Yeah. When you really see it at the end, it was it was kind of unnecessary because we didn't need the glowing, because in the comics he has like a red spot on his chest and he's like a very white haired, red eyed dude.
Okay. Yeah, I think they needed to play it a little more fast and loose.
A little more fast and furious.
It wasn't too fast, and it certainly wasn't too furious.
No. It's funny that you didn't. There were things you didn't like that I did like. Like I liked that opening scene a lot.
It's. I guess here's what it is. I've been obsessing over this idea, and this is not a comparison at all, quality wise. But I watched Dracula Untold recently, and that movie is the epitome of when a studio is trying to balance in the middle, when they're like, oh, we want to make it kind of scary, but not too scary. And like, we want it broad and for everybody, but like, it's a horror movie. And it's like, you look at Dracula films and it's like, it's either Twilight or it's Interview with a Vampire. You either go hardcore R rated or you go hardcore, like
PG-13. Yeah.
And so with this movie, it felt like it more successfully.
Dracula Untold is where he makes a fist out of bats, I believe. Okay,
it's a very bad movie. I'd never seen it before until recently.
Bad. Is this what inspired you to make the tweet that says, not that it matters, but Dracula has more of a claim to the name Batman?
I think
than
it
Batman
might have been.
Does.
Yeah. I'd been thinking about it. It like there's a scene. Oh, this is not about Dracula Untold, but there's a scene where they have to kill. They have to fridge his wife, and they do it by her falling off a. I'm not kidding. Like a thousand foot drop, maybe a couple thousand. They do a long sequence where he's trying to save her, and he's like flying on with his bat powers, and she's falling, and he can't reach her, and they have like the swelling music, you see him. Her falling and him chasing her for like maybe 30 seconds, she lands and then she says some last words to him. And it was like, wait.
She would have just popped.
She would have popped like a water balloon. And it's that movie had stuff like that where it was clear that like some producer wanted this thing, but they had to do this other thing. And they were just like, let's just fit it in. And it's like, well, you just completely ignored gravity to do your thing in your movie. And so
she should have been yelling it at him as she's falling.
Yes. Yeah. Or just don't have those lines. I don't know.
Or make her pop and then like have it in the ether.
Yeah.
So anyway, Vin Diesel is kind of a Dracula.
Right. He is kind of a Dracula.
Powered blood.
But my point with this film is that I think this movie did a better job at staying in that because it's PG-13 and it's trying to be like kind of for everybody and have that superhero. I think they should have just went for something a little more extreme.
What is interesting about this too is that there are scenes that violate the common sense aspect of it. Like there's a scene where there's like a secret weapon against Bloodshot and everybody's like, what is it? What is that?
Oh yeah.
And in my head, I'm like, it's an EMP.
It's gotta be an EMP.
That's
right?
An EMP.
They never do it again.
Did you not see Ocean's 11? Yeah. It's an EMP.
They never use an EMP again.
They don't need to.
At the end, I feel like wouldn't they have like something?
Wouldn't EMP your own fucking business.
Oh, you're right. No, he infiltrates them. They're not ready for it.
Yeah.
I feel, yeah, and they think the emergency shutdown is enough, but then they hack the system. There's a lot of hacking in this.
So much hacking. Crash and burn, acid burn, and, mm-hmm. and was it zero?
Zero cool?
Cool and,
yeah.
Oh, man.
Hackers, everybody watch that.
Yeah, everybody should watch that. Then there's a weird VR-ish game that makes no mm-hmm. sense that they play.
Well, I mean, you ever been to a Dave & Buster's lately? We're in the Hackers universe. We just discussed Dave & Buster's.
I'm not going to go to a goddamn Dave & Buster's during flu pandemonium.
That's fair.
When people are putting on fucking Weapon X helmets yeah. and coughing into them. I don't need that shit.
It's the last place the flu will look.
It's where it already is, yes.
Yeah. I say this really enjoying the film. I'm more thinking about how do you get more people to see what we see and go see Bloodshot. One, you got to not have a pandemic. That's probably the first thing. This movie's going to do very bad.
Yeah, this is going to make like $80.
Yeah. And it's a real shame.
Yeah, it's... This movie does deserve better.
Yeah, because I want a sequel. I want more.
I'm fine without it, though.
Yeah, I want more. This is the tragedy of Vin Diesel films is he keeps setting up franchises.
Yeah.
And then
we got three Riddick movies.
Yeah,
I
that's
think
true.
We only thought we were going to get one. So like
that's fair. Also, he has those Fast and Furious films, so he's not hurting.
Do you know
franchises.
How much money he's made off of Groot?
Yeah,
like he's made an insane amount of money off of
here.
Groot.
Okay,
and that might be the greatest paycheck anybody has ever gotten.
I guess this is what it is. Is that There's some movies that he's done. I guess it's really just The Last Witch Hunter that I'm just like, come on, let's get
Give me
10
more
of those.
Yeah.
Why is Fast and the Furious the one that gets 10? There's other
because
ones that can get 10.
People like dumb shit, and that is the epitome of dumb shit. We saw a trailer for the new Fast and the Furious where he Tarzan swings a car across a chasm.
Without getting out of the car. He doesn't stop. No. He doesn't hook it up.
It's not nothing. With his arms.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
He does. It's a literal Tarzan swing. Yeah.
That whole film.
I can't wait to see. I've never seen those movies.
Really?
I've only seen Hobbs and Shaw.
They're hubris. They're them being like, they figured out the hack where they're like, you're just here to see action. So we don't have to actually make sense. And they realized that a bit late, but they were like, you know what this is. Like,
yeah.
no one's sitting here looking for plot consistency. We flew too close to the sun, and now we're landed on the sun.
Yeah.
We gave Charlize Theron a bowl cut. Doesn't fucking matter. Who gives
do
a
it.
Shit? Yeah.
Fucking do it.
Yeah. It's great. And I think more films, like, that's why I was looking at this Bloodshot, and I was like, yeah, fucking, just do it. Just,
yeah, they
who
fucking,
gives a shit?
They lean into it.
Yeah.
Which I do like. Like, the amount of murder is great, especially because, like, he is kind, like, he's essentially, like, an unstoppable force, but, like, people are, like, stopping him while it's happening. Yeah, you're right. He's a Terminator.
Which made me, this movie made me think, like, oh, Vin Diesel as a Terminator would be great. I don't know if he'll allow that to happen.
Yeah, Vin Diesel, because there's supposed to be infiltration robots, and I couldn't picture
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, yeah, that was because it's the first.
Right.
You know about that timeline,
saying,
how they
oh, no,
how
I'm
they
saying
do it, right?
They, I guess, where were you heading with that? I was just going to say, neither of them look very incognito.
Well, yeah, but they, Cyberdyne, Skynet recognizes that the Arnold endoskeleton or the Arnold design was a mistake because it's supposed to be an infiltration robot,
right?
And it can't infiltrate when they all look like giant Austrian bodybuilders,
right?
Which is why they went into the different types of metal.
Yeah, that's fair.
Dark Fate was fucking great, by the way.
I like Dark Fate.
I liked it a lot.
It had some weird stuff, but I really enjoyed it.
Gabriel Luna, great Terminator.
Yeah,
I'm shouting him out.
I don't know. I think Vin Diesel.
Right?
I would like to see Vin Diesel in a Terminator. Is my point. It would help where you wouldn't have to understand him because he'd just be not talking. Yeah. I think there's something there.
His Vin Diesel's voice seems like a parody.
Yes. Yeah, like, and I don't know if it was Stallone. Always like that. It's like he's melting slowly.
I mean, he's like that in Pitch Black.
Yeah, I guess
and
so.
And that really, I mean, Pitch Black, I think, was his bar mitzvah of film. Like, he was in other movies, but
Pitch Black kind of showed us the perfect version of Vin Diesel. Yeah,
Saving Private Ryan is the, like, oh, who's this guy? And then Pitch Black is like, oh, this is exactly who this guy is.
And there's also something to, and this is, I guess this is why I'm most frustrated with how the Fast and the Furiouses use Vin Diesel, is I like him as like a dark hero. In Pitch Black, I like him as like kind of a bad guy. That's why I would have liked...
He was a murderer.
Yeah, I would have liked this to be R-rated, so there was a little more of that, a little more darkness. And like Last Witch Hunter, he's kind of dark, not that dark.
This is Techno Spawn.
Yeah, it is Techno Spawn.
Like, that's exactly what it is. It's the Spawn idea of like, oh, we got a soldier, and then we twist him to do the things we want him to do.
Right.
But then, get this.
Yeah.
He doesn't bite.
Yeah. I like the reveal of the, because I assumed it was going to be like, oh, they did kill her.
Or she's like a digitally created character.
Yeah, person. And he looks her up and she's just like, no, I'm married and got like a family and everything. And he's just like, oh, that's worse somehow.
This is a bummer and also seems very reckless.
Yeah.
Like,
what?
You're going to just let her exist? You just put him out there and then let her just live
Oh, right,
life?
The bad guys? Yeah.
Yeah, they're just like...
They didn't think he'd find her.
Now, the
did
one
he
thing
actually die?
Something that's confusing to me though is like they broke up 5 years ago.
Right.
Has he been doing this for 5 years?
Well, that was the question. Did he die? Because they tell him, "Oh, you died. You got tortured, or you watched your wife get No Country for Old Men murdered, and then you get shot, and we brought you back to life." And that.
But that's
the
simulation.
Lie. That's the lie.
So, like, was he murdered?
Yeah, we don't know. We need another film. We need a couple more films.
Bloodshot Origins.
Yeah. Oh, it's right there.
I mean,
we need to know.
And we probably won't get one because this hemorrhaged money.
Yeah.
China put a lot of money into this movie.
Here's my hope. My hope is that they won't blame the movie. They'll just be like, well, it's coronavirus. We'll never know. We have to do another, obviously.
I mean, money's money.
I know, but that's what I hope.
This is one of those. I mean, in a way, it's kind of like Hellboy got the baptism of like, see it, it's bad, don't see it.
Right.
Whereas this is like, people just aren't going to see it.
Right, and people are going to watch it on streaming later and be like, oh, this is fun.
It is interesting. A lot of people, I'm seeing a lot of tweets that are of people that are just like, make these movies available on Amazon, like make them purchasable. And I guess maybe that's like, I guess if companies made them rentable for like $18,
I was about to say they could do virtual theater where they're like, I feel like it would have to be like someone just coming out and being like, look, everybody, I'll level with you guys. We just made this film. It costs a lot of money. We can't just rent it for $4. Like, we need to do a theatrical run. Yeah. So, yeah, like, you can go see it in theaters, or you can pay a ticket price to see it at your home. Yeah.
That would be fair.
Yeah. Well, they're doing that, like, Frozen 2 is coming out on Disney Plus now, 3 months early. They're doing it for a couple.
Rise of Skywalker is available for purchase.
I think they pulled the ripcord on that. I think that's what happened because they just quietly showed up. Like,
well, they're like, hey, everybody's fucking at home, man.
Yeah. Here's Rise of Skywalker.
Instead of just being forced to watch fucking Outlander the whole goddamn time. This show is so bad.
I'm going to have to watch Outlander.
No, you don't. No, don't. Just take my word
for
it.
You got one more Outlander fan
It's a Xena quality.
Ooh.
Erotic. Time travel, pseudo historical sci-fi story about a woman from the 40s who gets transported back to the 1700s.
Wait, she starts in the 40s.
In the 1940s.
So are we, okay. Is most of the movie or show her in the 1917s or whatever you said?
1700s.
1700s.
She goes to like the special Scottish.
Why isn't she from now?
Magically transported. Well, I think it might have to do with the fact that the books were written in 1989.
Jesus,
that this
Christ.
Is based off of, and published in 1991. But the reality is, I think if you don't give her a modern point, but make it a historical point, then your storyline can technically be timeless, because you're not like, oh, she's from now going back.
Right.
Instead of like, oh, she's from the 40s.
It just feels ridiculously unrelatable. It reminds me of the Time Machine with Guy Pearce, where he's from the past, and then they give him like one scene where he's in like the future that's kind of like us, and then he's just fighting orcs, and it's like, I don't fucking care about this guy one bit. It's like he's always been dead in my mind because he's from like the 1800s.
She gets magically transported to the 1700s. She was a field medic during World War II.
Okay.
That was her thing. So she's going back to Scotland. She is repeatedly attempted raped.
Jesus.
Like, there are sexual assaults in every episode, I think.
Huh.
And there's like this sexual tension and blah blah blah, and apparently it just gets like middle-aged women crazy horny.
Oh.
Yeah. It's sort of like if you were to look for the books, you'd find them at a pharmacy spinner rack.
Right. Who did this to you?
Sound like Stars.
Okay.
You mean who's making me watch it?
No. Yeah. No, I know. I just wonder who
would do that? Stars. Of course Stars.
Yeah,
would make
I guess it would be Stars.
Is it a sounds poorly exhausting. Made period piece? It's Stars.
Yeah. Jesus.
You know what wasn't bad? Fucking Bloodshot.
Bloodshot. Yeah, people should check this out. They should risk it. You know, risk the pandemic. Just go out.
Yeah, just fucking Dave and I sat two seats away from each other.
That's true. AMC's doing a thing where they're underselling by like half. They're selling 50% of their tickets because they need money.
Dude,
they've needed money before this.
I walked by a place that was, it was an ice cream place that was just said in a paper sign with, and like marker, buy one, get one free.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
AMC is going to start being like, look, we'll make a movie with you in it and then you can watch the movie. What do you want from us?
Yeah, what do you want from us? We'll do anything.
We'll do fucking anything.
We'll do anything. Just
you
want to
go into the alley? You want to go into the alley with me real quick?
We have crack at the concession stand now. And you can smoke crack in our theater. Yeah. It'll be fine.
You could do that anyway in AMC if you're discreet enough.
AMC releases new jerk off in our theater campaign. We'll play porno.
Yeah, fuck it.
Fuck
anything.
It. We will play vintage 80s porno. We're talking Taxi Driver era porno. And you can come
no
and
one
just
will enjoy.
Beat it. Just
beat it to
beat
some
off
grainy porn.
Beat off to grainy 8mm porno.
Watch a man who might be your father just rail this lady.
And then stick around for Bloodshot, maybe. We'll do a double feature. Get the nut out of the way. Once we've all hit a button that says I've finished, then Bloodshot starts.
It's perfect. In IMAX.
Fucking,
all IMAX.
Fucking Dolby surround sound, man. Just.
Oh, no.
You know, that's what we need.
Yeah.
That's what America needs right now.
Yeah, kind of.
A public nut hut.
A big release. Just go, big release.
Just a big,
to watch.
A big release release.
Exactly. Oh, Bloodshot.
And that could be something else shot.
This is gross.
Of the double feature? Come shot and Bloodshot.
I feel gross. I feel gross.
You shouldn't.
Yeah, I won't. I don't.
Everybody nuts, bro.
Yeah. Do you you have any final thoughts on Bloodshot?
Oh, that's right. This is about Bloodshot.
No, it's about whatever we want it to be. The foundation is Bloodshot.
This is a serviceable standard action movie, an above average comic book movie.
Yeah.
A good DC comic book movie.
Yes.
A good use of Vin Diesel's oozed machismo.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. It breaks my heart to say this. You could probably wait for streaming if you're concerned about going to a theater. But gosh darn it, they should
risk
just make it available right now. This is a perfect stay-at-home movie and watch. Like, this doesn't... We watch it in IMAX or just a big screen.
I liked watching it in IMAX.
I did like it in a big screen.
You can see every nanobot.
Yeah, you could. You could see every nanobot. That's true. Those little nanobots were having a great time.
Yeah, you remember nanobots from G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra.
Yeah.
These
are like the enemy nanobots. Like, those are the ones that break things down, right?
Yeah, they're the ones that they put in the Vipers to make them not feel pain.
Oh, right.
God, okay. That movie was bad. And then G.I. Joe Retaliation was very good.
It's fantastic.
That's another good one. Yeah. See that?
Yeah, everybody see that. That's available.
Watch G.I. Joe Retaliation.
And then Bloodshot.
I think
this was definitely on that director level.
Was it James Wan?
I think so.
I picked him up in my Uber one time.
Oh, how is he?
He was really cool. I picked him up at J.J. Abrams' birthday New Year's party. And he was like, oh, I'm a director. And I was like, oh, do you have anything that you've done that I can see? I'd love to consume your work. You seem like a nice guy. And he's like, the last movie I saw was called G.I. Joe Retaliation. And I was like, I looked at him and I was like, I was driving, so yeah. I didn't look at him, but I was like, okay, let's talk about that mountain scene. I really like that you did basically a nod to G.I. Joe number 21. He was like, wait, you know that? I was like, yeah. I was like, that was pretty cool. Real quick question. You guys killed Duke real quick. Did he just not want to be in those movies? He's like, that was a favor to Channing Tatum. Like, killing Channing Tatum in G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Like, I gotta get out of here, man.
He didn't want to do the movies in the first place. It was John Chu, excuse me.
Oh.
He didn't want to do them in the first place.
Wait, what else has John Chu done?
Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, that was really good.
Yeah. And the Step Up movies.
I never saw those.
I think they were like some kind of dance movies that Channing Tatum, I think, was in. That's how they were friends. So Channing Tatum got G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra because he kept refusing movies from the studio and he had a contract. So they're like, well, now you have to be in this one, fuckface. So he was in that, but he didn't want to be. So he got John Chu, who was his friend, to direct the second one. And as a favor, he killed off his character right away.
Yeah, that's nice of him.
I probably shouldn't have said that.
I'm not going to cut it unless you like really threaten me.
I don't care.
Okay.
It's not like he tipped me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, don't fuck him. Like, never mind, everybody.
It's fine.
It's fine. This is, I think, Bloodshot's G.I. Joe Retaliation level, where it's like it's...
Oh, yes.
Not enough people will see it, but every now and then there'll be someone who'll be like, you know what's fucking underrated? Bloodshot.
This seems like a movie that I would like to get gifted on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Like, I would be like, if somebody gave me this for Christmas on Blu-ray, I'd be like, let's see what bonus features are on this.
Yeah.
I bet the bonus... Like, imagine a commentary with Vin Diesel.
It would be tough.
But I feel like in real life, he actually has a better sense of humor than his acting characters. His characters are humorless, but he seems like he would get it.
That's the thing is, this is why I go back and forth about how self-aware he is, because everything I've heard, because, you know, everybody knows he's a big D&D nerd.
Yeah.
He seems, everything I've, like all the behind the scenes stuff I've seen of him, he seems to know. He seems to be a very cool guy with a good sense of humor. And I'm wondering if it's like...
I think he just knows what'll sell.
Yeah. I'm wondering if he's like... He must know that this stuff is funny. He must know it's over the top.
He knows that there are people unironically loving his shit, though.
Yes. And he probably has a lot of respect. And, like, you know, XXX is one of those where it's tough because you watch the first XXX. Even when I was like dumb and like 23 when I saw it, I was like, this is silly.
That was extreme Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Basically. But it's so over the top. It's like... Maybe, like, if you're 13, you think it's genuinely cool. He's making movies for 13 years.
Oh, he was in The Pacifier.
Was he?
The one where he was like, you know who's coming, who's following Vin Diesel's path? David Bautista.
Yes. He's
although he's a funnier, I think.
He's
but.
Also a better actor. He just doesn't get to be one. Did you see him in Blade Runner?
Bautista?
Yeah.
I didn't watch Blade Runner.
Oh.
I feel bad, but I don't like the first Blade Runner.
That's fair. Then don't see the second
one. Yeah, like, that's why I didn't. I'm like, it got so overhyped.
He's talked about this before, is that he thinks he would really do a good job in like dramatic roles and stuff like that, but no one will fucking cast him in that. In Blade Runner, he has like a 15-minute scene at the very beginning with Ryan Gosling, who's there to kill him, and he's phenomenal. And it's like, oh, Jesus, Batista, you got to do more dramas. But no one's going to put him, you know, he's not going to do Marriage Story. Imagine.
Yeah. Imagine him punching that wall. Yeah, exactly. The whole wall goes down.
And it's like kind of a shame. So like, yeah, good for him. He keep doing his thing.
Yeah. I mean, he knows what jobs he's going to get.
Yeah.
Which are like
He knows what he is. Yeah.
You know, he needs to be the straight guy.
I think he can do it. I think he just has to wait. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger did you see Maggie?
I was wondering about his daughter was sick.
It's a zombie movie, yeah. But it's post like it's when the zombie apocalypse is winding down. So there's like barely any zombies. The idea is like society is going back to normal, but it's like obviously a recession and everybody's like trying to get their shit back together. And like every now and then you go somewhere and you encounter like a wandering zombie and you have to take him out. And Schwarzenegger just plays an old man. Like he's not a badass at all. Yeah. There's a part where he has to fight a zombie and he's having trouble. And I'm like, come on, man, just rip its jaw off.
That sort of reminds me of like when John Cena plays characters now.
Yeah.
And when they're like, oh, that's John Cena. That's John Cena playing a mailman.
Right.
And you're like, no, it's not.
No, it can't be.
Nope.
But an older Arnold Schwarzenegger, I feel like he can kind of do it because he's not like, he's still very,
just
very
like a big
swole.
Dude, yeah.
But like, yeah, they can sort of cover it up and he looks a little more fragile.
You can't cover up Batista.
Yeah, Batista. In Blade Runner, they give him glasses. They give him like little granny glasses. And it's like,
I like whenever someone puts him in little glasses.
Yeah.
Little prop glasses.
He's very, well, the idea is also in that he's a replicant. So it's like, of course he's like this big swole guy. Like, he's like built to be that way, but
yeah,
so it works. So I think he could find his place.
Yeah.
Or he can just be Vin Diesel. Yeah.
I think, I mean, Vin Diesel, we know how good Vin Diesel can be in stuff because we saw Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
Or I think Knock Around Guys.
Yeah, I never saw Find Me Guilty, but I've been curious about what his performance is in that.
And Boiler Room.
Boiler Room. Yeah, I think he's capable of acting. He just, it's like Adam Sandler, where yeah, he, every now and then Adam Sandler's like, yeah, I can act, but I just, you know, this is easier, and I make more money doing
this.
This
is fun, and I'm on vacation.
Yeah.
I don't have to get into... Can we, real quick, side note, if we're promoting movies,
sure,
if, like, your home, Mr. Deeds...
It's good, right?
...is a very good movie.
Yeah.
It is sort of the last... Because Mr. Deeds and, I believe, Big Daddy came out kind of in
yeah,
a row.
Yeah, and that's
Big
when
Daddy's
we're,
a slightly yeah, worse
I remember...
movie. But Mr. Deeds really holds up in the pantheon of like, it's right before Adam Sandler was making the quote bad comedy
right,
movies.
I remember Eight Crazy Nights actually being pretty endearing.
Yeah.
I don't, yeah, I only saw it once, but a cartoon with Adam Sandler that's just like,
it was, I think it was PG-13.
A holiday movie. And, yeah.
I watched Mr. Deeds the other day, and the jokes all land really well.
All right. I'll have to watch that.
Shout out to Mr. Deeds.
All right. Yeah, people are looking for shit right now.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's like locked at home, so yeah, like, fucking watch Mr. Deeds.
Mr. Deeds, what else did we mention?
Geez, what else? What have I been...
G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe Retaliation?
Yeah.
You got to go into G.I. Joe Retaliation like not even thinking about G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra.
Last Witch Hunter. If you haven't seen both Triple X's, you don't... I never saw the State of the Union because I'm sure it's
you
good.
Hate Ice Cube? You're a racist?
No, Ice Cube is great. Is I just... It's not Vin. It's not Vin. And it
sure,
was made kind of vindictively.
It was like the studio.
They like really killed him off because he wouldn't do another. And then he came back and he did it. He really did it.
Triple X State of the Union. You should see that though. Support your local
yeah,
Ice Cube.
Yeah.
I worked on a NBA tying but to Channing Tatum. During 22 Jump Street, I worked on an NBA Finals bumper. I was like a PA.
Sure.
So during the NBA Finals, it was Ice Cube, Channing Tatum, and Jonah Hill. And then a bunch of NBA legends would have like sit around talks as like before going to commercial breaks.
Right.
So someone has to be there to film them. So we filmed them at a YMCA. I'm probably violating a huge NDA here.
Sure.
My job, I wrote Ice Cube's cue cards and got fired from that part because like I wasn't good at, I didn't know how to write cue cards properly.
Okay.
And they were like, how do you not know how to do this? I'm like, it's not, I'm not writing a paragraph here. Like, I don't, I've never taken a class on cue card writing.
Right.
So then I just babysat NBA legends. So it's Clyde Drexler, Dr. J, Moses Malone, and Robert Horry. And I'm just there making sure that they're like okay and they don't like leave without permission and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Me and Moses Malone were looking out the window at Ice Cube taking photos of Ride Along on Blu-ray because it had just come out and he was doing like promotion for it. It was great. I was also Channing Tatum's lighting double.
Oh.
I was doubling.
So you know
for
you're
him.
About Channing Tatum's
about
size.
His size. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good to know. Yeah. Yeah. If you ever have to be described to like the police, they'd be like about Channing Tatum's size.
Channing Tatum's size without his general, more like if Channing Tatum was a mean cop instead of a beautiful little boy.
Oh, Tatum, the Taters, he could probably act. Right? Could
yeah,
he
can. I think.
Foxcatcher.
Yeah. And he's great in the Jump Street series, by yeah. the way.
He had to do Foxcatcher. He's got to do more fucking
Magic
dramas.
Magic Mike, dude.
Magic Mike. Why? He's great. What is he up to?
He's brilliant.
He is really good.
What's he doing?
I think he took a break. I haven't seen him for a second.
Channing, what are you up to?
Channing.
He did that really bad. It seems like it was a Luc Besson movie. I don't even know if it was or if it was the...
Are you thinking of Jupiter Ascending?
Yeah.
That was the Wachowskis.
The Wachowskis.
And that's like... That was a while ago.
That Yeah.
That was like... I want to say 2015, 2016.
40 years ago.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. All right, we'll see Bloodshot, you guys.
I would see Bloodshot again.
I would see it again.
But like at home.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
But like, it's actually kind of worth going to the theater to watch.
It is. If you have a theater near you that you know there's not going to be many people at.
Yeah, if you have Stubbs A-List.
Or if you just don't care about your lives or the lives of other people.
Like, it's not, if you're a homebody and you don't come into contact with a lot of people often, it's worth the risk.
Sure.
But if you like work at a retirement home, maybe don't go see Bloodshot.
Yeah, bring them all to see Bloodshot because they're gonna fucking love it.
Big screening. Yeah. That is a boomer dream right there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Bloodshot.
100%.
That was like watching Rambo 5.
Ooh.
Which was like essentially like a boomer's wet dream.
Did that happen already? Did that come and go?
Yeah.
I need to watch that.
I was really bummed by it.
Oh.
Because Rambo 4 was really good, actually.
Sometimes they get too old. Is that what happened? Did he get too old?
Nope. Well, he got a little racist.
Oh. Like, so he got too old.
Like, here's the thing is, like, Rambo 4 is about Myanmar. Is about, like, the problems in Burma going
on.
And shit like that. But Rambo 5 is about a woman getting arrested by Mexican drug cartels and getting people over the border and stuff.
Oh.
And it was very,
they're like, it's topical. And it's like, nah,
well,
it's
he's
racist.
Always done that. The third one's about the Russians in Afghanistan.
Right.
Except the flavor of it's like kind of the...
Yeah.
Like the Jonah Hill gif of him saying,
yeah,
nah.
It's like, no, you can't do the same thing.
Also, one of the frenemies in Rambo 4, one of the special ops people that he goes with, is in Outlander.
Oh.
I'm tying everything
together.
Just
haunting you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
We got that going for us. Anyway, it's fun. It's better than most DC movies. It's probably better than Thor 2.
Yes.
And Iron Man.
Yeah, I think you put it really well. It's a decent just film overall. It's definitely better than most DC movies. It's a good comic. Like, I think I'm gonna like it more than like Morbius, which is made by the writer of Dracula Untold.
This is Dracula Told.
Yeah, I think this is gonna be. It's gonna be up there, surprisingly up there in terms of films I've seen this year. Is Bloodshot? It was fine.
It's a surprise.
Yeah, it was fun.
I did kind of roll my eyes being like, let's go see Bloodshot. I'll see Bloodshot. This is a good episode for me to step in for.
Right. Like, because you have nothing to lose.
Yeah, like I have some Bloodshot trades at home.
Right.
Like, it's fine.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for being on, and man.
Of course, man. Thanks for having me be on.
Yeah,
appreciate
it's,
it.
It's great having you be Tom.
Yeah.
Do you have any? Do you wanna plug people things?
Yeah. Stuff, check out Mr. Places? Deeds available on all. Would it be? I would love to be a Mr. I saw the guy in Mr. Deeds. One of the guys. In
Which
Mr.
guy?
Deeds. The good guy that works for the corporation. The guy with the beard. He's also the killable father in the Daredevil film. The Affleck Daredevil one.
The his dead dad.
He's got like the big fat chin strap beard, and he's like the Greek looking guy.
It's been a while.
Yeah. No, you can check out Tom and Jeff Watch Batman on the Gamefully Unemployed Patreon. You should check that out. Also, You Don't Even Like Sports on the Unpopular Opinion Network, where me and Adam Todd Brown, it's a sports podcast for people that don't like sports. And boy, we just banged out some good Rodman episodes. So if you want to hear more about Dennis Rodman, sign up.
I love that you have to say the title.
You don't even like
it. Yeah, you got to say it like that.
Yeah. Also, I do a great long-form interview show called Sideshow Sideshow with Jeff May for Sideshow Collectibles. That goes up every other Tuesday. The next guest that I have coming on, I'm really excited about. It's somebody that I knew as a teenager.
Ooh.
Who made it huge in professional wrestling.
Ooh.
And I just found out he moved to California.
Ooh.
So I haven't seen him in 15 years.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Like
he was like big in the WWE and everything like that.
Are you going to like step in there not having seen him for 15 years?
Kind of.
Yeah, like, I think you should do it. Like catching up.
Yeah, yeah.
Just talking about the old neighborhood shit.
Yeah, what do you mean? Well, we used to backyard wrestle.
Oh, that's
great. And then he's like, I'm going to be a wrestler. And I'm like, yeah, me too, whatever. And then he did.
Then he fucking did
He fucking did, man.
Oh, good for him.
But anyway, Sideshow Sideshow is great. If live comedy ever becomes a thing again, Mint on Card is the second Friday of every month at Blast from the Past on Magnolia and Burbank. We unfortunately had to postpone our March show.
Oh, no, why?
Amid fears that everybody's going to die.
Yeah.
Everything has been canceled. So we got that going for us. But you can check that out if you're in California, in Southern California. It's a great free show, blah, blah, blah. Look, man, I record so many fucking shows.
Yeah.
Like, you can find
me. You do a lot.
I'm on the Twitter and the Instagram.
Just Google it.
At Hey There Jeff Rowe. Don't find me on Facebook. That's not for you. That's for, like, my mom.
Yeah. So if you're Jeff's mom...
Follow me on Facebook.
Yeah.
Mom. Follow me. Don't friend me, though, Mom. It's weird.
I want to really quick plug the Chris Rock movie Down to Earth. Just talking about things in the 2000s that we like that people don't think about anymore.
Yeah, that's great.
People need movies to watch, man. Watch Down to Earth. It's good.
Go ahead.
It's good.
I was going to send another one your way. The Condemned, starring Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's great.
Fantastic.
That's a great one.
Yeah. I guess I should talk about our Patreon real quick. If you aren't a subscriber, go to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts there. One that Jeff's in called Tom and Jeff Watch Batman.
Yeah.
And you want that.
You know you want it in your life.
We also have Fox Mulder's A Maniac. Two exclusive podcasts on there and a bunch of tiers you can check out. Show. You can make us watch movies and do your own special episodes that we just watch.
Yeah. As a reminder, and I'm just going to say this from a person that I'm not affected by the revenue of your Patreon, by the way, because I'm an independent thing. Content creators need support now really bad.
Yes.
Like, we are...
Even if it's not... Yeah, not talking
like,
about
it
ourselves.
It sounds like I'm shilling for my benefit. But like, it actually doesn't help me to promote this, but...
If you listen to this and you're just like, I don't know, and then you find another Patreon that you really like, give to them, too.
Yeah. like support.
It's like, just people need it.
If there are content creators that you like, buy their fucking merch.
Yeah.
Maybe up a tier on Patreon for a month or two. Like...
Because it'll go away.
Like, even like, I mean, I hate to say it, and like, I'm good, but like, Venmoing and PayPaling people a couple bucks as like,
right.
Like, hey, please don't die.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that are like, probably going to have to move home.
Right. Well, because the internet is that, where it's like, yeah. Oh, that guy did great webcomics. Why don't he do those anymore? And it's like, because he's not making any fucking... I had that with Every Frame of Painting, where I was like, I love this YouTube show. And then it stopped. And it was like, what the hell? And it's like, oh, right. He needs to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I know that content is supposed to be free, apparently, according to everybody. But, like...
According to the internet.
Fucking, you need to start paying people.
Yeah, especially right now.
Yeah.
People are inside a lot.
Yeah. Like, if you have, like, a career and a salary and you have, like, paid time off, like, fucking spread it around.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because freelancers do not have that.
Yeah. Prove conservatives right and let that shit trickle down.
There it is. Trickle it all over us, yeah. Baby.
Trickle it all over us. AMC. Trickle it on us.
Trickle it.
We'll do whatever the fuck you want.
Just see a fucking movie.